We live in a world that is obsessed with the concept of celebrating diversity. Have you ever noticed this? One of the things that we've been dealing with, that it seems like everywhere you turn, there's something, someone that's calling us to embrace diversity and to appreciate our differences, because we all know it makes the world a better place. It's more diverse. It's a rich kind of an experience. But I've been trying to figure out, I don't know if you're like this, but I'm getting a little fatigued with the language of diversity. And I'm not trying to say we don't celebrate diversity in any way. Don't get me wrong here. Not down on it. But it's just this tiring kind of message that we're forever having to talk about it. And I think I've been trying to figure out why I'm in a moment of fatigue when it comes to the language of diversity. And I think it is that the more we talk about it, the more polarized the world seems to be, right? Like, it seems like we want to celebrate all these different views and different, you know, things that are happening around us, and yet everywhere you look, it seems to be more and more polarized. I mean, down in the States, even just yesterday, right? The big demonstration that happened and all the violence that happened around that. And these are opposing views that are out there, and it escalates. And so I think that that's where I kind of cringe sometimes. I don't know if you saw this story, bear with me for a second, but there's a story about a reporter who tweeted a picture. It was two women that were in burqas. They're fully dressed in these burqas, and they were coming out of a Victoria's Secret store, and he tweeted this thinking he was on, you know, celebrating diversity, but he experienced the backlash of the Twitter world that called him insensitive, racist, and all of these things, and he was in no way trying to make he thought he was being very positive, and it came back to really bite him in a big way. And so in a BBC article that I was reading, this professor says, the problem with Twitter is that Twitter does not further diversity, but it makes people shy away from broaching a politically sensitive or incorrect sentiment. In other words, the more you tweet, the bigger the backlash seems to be. And I still don't know why anyone uses their Twitter account. I just watch other people. I never tweet because it's just too toxic, right? It's volatile. So I would agree with that the more you seem to, people start to share their views and their diversity, the more it seems to blow things up, it feels like, and there's this backlash. And so with all of this, you know, call for diversity, you quickly realize that in some ways, in an odd way, diversity is often really just a code word for uniformity. And what I mean by that is that we all need to be thinking the same way, is what it feels like. And we'll look into that. So you can understand, as I'm going into Romans 15, 5, well, 4 to 7, why I kind of cringe at this language of accepting one another. So, such things, this is from Romans 15, verses 4 to 7. Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. And the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. May God, who gives us patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. So God's word gives us encouragement, endurance, patience, because we're reminded of the hope that God offers us in that he will fulfill his promises that he's given us in Scripture. And then we extend this hope towards others as we live in unity. And in our unity, we bring glory to God. But what does unity look like, is the question. What does it mean, as the NIV says, being of one mind? Is that like, I was thinking of the Borg, you know, in Star Trek, where they're all attached to the main computer and they all operate in the same, and the way you go at them is to go for the main computer. Is that what this is like? Is this like a Star Trek kind of Borg thing where we're of one mind? Well, the idea of accepting one another is what we want to talk about today. And I think we need to start by clarifying what it is that Paul and Romans is really referring to. So we hear a lot these days about accepting one another, and we're often challenged to embrace diversity. But is that the same thing that Paul is talking about? So first of all, a bit about diversity. Diversity is many different voices singing different songs. And we live in a very culturally diverse world, right? even here in Calgary. There's all kinds of different ethnicities, there's nationalities, there's religions, there's economic levels, family backgrounds, there's different work skills, education levels, and all of this contributes to our view of the world. And they come up with these wide range of beliefs and attitudes towards everything from politics, right, to our views on sexuality, to financial management. All of these things come out. And these many voices around us are singing many different songs. And as a society, we enjoy the freedom to do that. Diversity is really a call to live peacefully with one another. And we, as Christians, are able to enjoy that. Think about the pastor who just came out of North Korea, right? Put in prison for a couple years, hard labor, because he was in a country that didn't allow for diversity, for freedom of thought and religion. But as people, we're created by God, and we recognize the value and the dignity that each person has that's inherent in them. And that's because they are created by God. Regardless of their faith or the belief systems, they're still God created. And so we know that God has created each of us in his image. And we have emotions, we have love, we care for our children, we have the capacity to honor one another. But while I honor people as created by God, it doesn't mean that I approve of everything that everyone does. So obviously, if someone is violent towards someone else, we have to call them on that. That's not appropriate. And if there's and in honoring the createdness of people, I'm not called to endorse everything that they do. That just doesn't work because we have these opposing views all around us, right? And we know that all have sinned, and so our actions are not always appropriate towards one another. But we do always recognize the value that each person has as created by God. So let's go to the Roman church here. As we begin to look at Romans 15, we need to first of all clarify who it is that Paul is talking to. He's talking to a group of Christians. They're Christ followers in this area. And Paul's addressing a very specific group. So we need to be careful that the diversity language that's in our society currently, that we don't impose that onto this passage. They're different things. Paul's talking about much more than living peacefully with others. He's talking about another level. He's talking about unity. And there's one thing where we live and let live and just allow people to have their freedom. There's another thing when it comes to the church where together we need to be unified. So the Roman church had both Jewish and non-Jewish believers. There are many different cultures represented in that church. And so Paul spent time addressing, say, the Jewish struggle. Think about the Jewish believers that were coming with all kinds of rules and rituals that they had grown up with that were part of their culture. And now he tried to change their belief system, but still embracing parts of their culture and their practices while at the same time pointing to Jesus. And so they're wrestling with legalism, they're wrestling with things that trying to earn their salvation, all of that. Then you mix in Gentiles, non-Jews, who are also wrestling with what does it mean to now come into this group and to give up idols and to give up superstitions and all of these belief systems to now fully embrace Jesus. You mix them all together in the same little place as the family of God, and you have potential for mess. And so that's what Paul's addressing here. May the God, this is from the English Standard Version, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The language that is here is not so much one as in unison. The language is actually that of harmony. So harmony is a metaphor that is about like a choir or musicians playing music together. There are different voices, there's different musicians, but they're all playing the same song, the same tune. And that, there is harmony in that. So there's a common purpose and a vision of what they're trying to accomplish. And so the many unique players and voices are all becoming one beautiful voice that sing praise to God. That's a powerful image, right, when you think about it? Because unison, singing the same thing, everyone's on the same note, and you don't have any other supporting notes, is just, it's a melody line. But when you think about harmony, there's chords, there's structure, there's beauty to this song. But you have to be in the same key, have to be playing at the same pace for this to work, right? And so there's unity in this image of harmony. As Christ followers, we're called to be of one mind. In other words, we're to be singing the same song. And it doesn't work when we're doing our own thing. And it's really because in all of this, it's Jesus who draws us together and gives us our life song to sing. He picks us up out of the mud and the miry clay, and he sets our feet on a solid rock. And he gives us a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to God, Psalm 40. Jesus gives us our life song to sing. So he did that for us. He saved us. He transforms us. He gives us his spirit. And he took us the way we were, and he accepted us. He created a way for us to have a relationship with God the Father. Think about that. When he died for our sin, that we could be in the holy presence of God because of Jesus. He adopted us into his family, and he joined us together as his body. And so we're called to accept one another just as Jesus Christ accepted us. And the word for accept is actually receive or welcome. There's an open arm embrace. You're welcoming someone in. And so when we sing songs like Amazing Grace, you know, that... You know, how amazing it is that, how sweet the sound that it saved a wretch like me. That we're fully aware that we need Jesus and we need his grace in our lives because we know that we have all sinned and we're incapable of earning his love. And so we're so grateful to God. But that same grace that was extended to us is extended to others around us as well. In fact, when you think about it, God has extended his love, his grace, through Jesus to the whole world, right? Jesus came for the world, and yet people either don't understand it or they outright reject this gift that was given to us in Jesus. And so not everybody is part of this song. Not everyone is understanding God's love for them. But Paul says, therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. So, again, the contrast is when we embrace diversity, that's to live in peace with others. But harmony is joining together in one song of praise to Jesus. And in that, we glorify God. So Paul says that we need to glorify God, and we do not, and that we do that as we accept one another. One commentary talks about how we glorify God, and that is to ascribe honor to him as we acknowledge his being, his attributes, and his acts. In other words, we recognize God as all-powerful, the creator, the sustainer of all things. We call him Father because all life flows from the Father, that he is holy and perfect. So how is it that we accept one another? By accepting one another, we bring glory to God. Well, we understand that wherever God is, there's glory. And we anticipate this day when we'll be face to face with the Creator God and we'll be surrounded by his glory. That's a future event that we talk about. But right now, God's presence is here among us by his Spirit. When we surrender our lives to God, when we follow after Jesus, we're told that he fills us with his Holy Spirit. And we become, in that sense, a temple of the Holy Spirit, a place where the Holy Spirit resides. That's an amazing thought. And as we live out our faith and we accept one another, we welcome one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, his presence is among us. So his presence right now is among us as we are the family of God. The fact that we can live in harmony is a demonstration that God's power is among us. Because how else could we live in harmony with the the diversity that's in this room, the number of people that are here, that we can still be unified in that is amazing. So we bring God glory because this kind of life, this kind of living is truly supernatural. It only makes sense if God is a part of it. So think about it. In this room, we have people who grew up in places like Mexico and the Philippines. And you've probably been surrounded by religious practices that place a huge emphasis on earning your salvation. Maybe you've seen in those places people who are crawling up the cathedral steps on their knees, pleading for God's forgiveness and just trying to prove their devotion to God, earning their forgiveness. We have people in the room who have grown up in Canada, and so you have grown up with perhaps a washed-out view of grace and holiness. There are some who have struggled with addictions, who now wrestle with legalism as a result. They were addicted, now they're feeling like there's this strict legalism in their world because they're trying to get away from the old life, and they wonder how others can be so flippant about things that cause so much destruction. There are probably foster kids in this room. There's some who have been divorced and experienced the pain of rejection. Some are experiencing chronic illness and wonder whether prayer actually works. We have others who have experienced incredible healing in their lives, and they may be frustrated as they look around and go, "Don't you get it? God wants to heal you. He wants to work in your life." There are parents with young children. There are couples who long for children. There are grandparents who stress about the state of their grandchildren as they live in this world that is so toxic. There's some of you who are in management, and there's others of you who clean the office of the manager. We are all coming from different places, and yet, as this list could go on and on, God has somehow brought us into the same family and joined us together. He's drawn us together by Jesus Christ. And each of us have a part to sing in this song. In this world of many issues and messages, and it's important that we remind ourselves what song we are to be singing. So here in Buena Vista Church, our desire is, we've been praying already this morning, Pastor Murray was praying this, that we would reflect God's glory to our community. And so we reflect God's glory by giving our lives fully to God. As we experience his love and forgiveness, we're then able to love one another and to care for one another in a way that, even though we come from different backgrounds, we still point to Jesus as drawing us together. We're part of God's sacred community, we say here. So then as his family, we represent him wherever we go. Wherever God has placed us in this world, we are representing Christ. Whether you realize it or not, some of us, you know, maybe do a better job of that, you know, and we have moments where we seem to be doing that well, and then we have moments where we really fail. And yet, in all of this, we are representing Christ. And the amazing thing is, we aren't the only ones, right? Just down the road, we have Buena Vista Baptist, we have Sunwest Community Church meeting over in the theater in Canyon Meadows, we have Trinity Baptist, we have Southview, we have First Alliance, all these churches that are meeting together even right now, and somehow in this miraculous way, we are also part of that family, not just in this room. We're all different, and we're unique, but the one thing that binds us together is the love of Jesus. So today, we're going over to the skate park. Certain members of this body here have skills that I don't have and are able to skateboard and film and do all of this. So going over there to represent Christ in the community in this way. There's others who tomorrow are going to be going and working with kids in the community with the mega sports camp using soccer skills and all of these things to bless families and children in our community. This is all part of singing the same song. Different parts, but yet the same message, that we reflect Christ to the world. So will we always agree? Well, of course not. We're a big family, and there will be disagreements, misunderstandings, but we can never lose sight of the heart of the other, a heart that's been transformed by God himself. So when we see others, other Christ followers, and they act differently, or they, you know, even believe differently about certain, you know, behaviors and things. We recognize that they are still loved by God. God's working and transforming their life. So when we lose sight of the heart of the other person and we begin to distrust their motives, that's where conflicts happen, right? You see that with any relationship. When you lose trust in the heart of the other person, all of a sudden everything starts to, you question what they did. And why are they doing that? They must be really self-centered and all of this. But we need to keep our perspective clear that it's Jesus that's working in our lives, and we fix our eyes on him. So I remember hearing someone say that nothing unites people like a common enemy. You ever heard that phrase? So a common enemy unites people. Well, that's good in the short term, I suppose, that we have a singular focus. But talk to any politician. Once the crisis is gone, once that common enemy has kind of not been as big an issue, then people start to resent those people, and there's all kinds of, it's a short-lived unity. But the unity that we're talking about here is that we are united by a common Savior, that we have Jesus is the common denominator among us. And it's Jesus who draws us together by his Spirit, and through him that we have the ability to accept one another. So together we fix our eyes on Jesus and we sing a new song, a hymn of praise to God. So to God be the glory as we accept one another.